You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, yesterday, the Star carried a story in which the vice president of MyWatch claimed that children in their early teens are being recruited into criminal gangs. Now, perhaps this is a good point of departure if we want to take a broad view of the problem of violent crime, which is, of course, currently at a very fevered pitch. Yeah. So, Sharad, you spoke to Suakam Commissioner James Nayagam and also Anderson Selvasegram as well, the Executive Director of Suara Kanak-Kanak, about the nexus between youth and crime, didn't you?
I did indeed, and it was a fascinating discussion. I'll carry a second part of this report and this interview tomorrow, where, in fact, you'll learn how a kid spent 6 months in jail because he could not produce his IC. Wow. But that's tomorrow's interview. Today, I really wanted to get to the heart of it. I want to know, what is the state of play? What do we understand is happening with young children who get involved in crime, juvenile offenders they're called? And I first asked Anderson Selvasegram, whose organization actually goes into the prison systems and works with these kids. Mm-hmm. I asked him, what do we understand about who these kids are?
If you look at some of the kids who are in prison, and you will see that kids come from all demographics. However, you will also see a certain group of kids where, like for example, I mean, you see, I mean, the Indian population in our country is not a lot, but you see a high percentage over there. There are also many kids from the marginalized background as well who's there. And if you think about it, and if you ask yourself in terms of if a kid lives in maybe a low-cost flat, for example, and he's cooped up in his little flat, the only thing he can do after school is go downstairs. And if downstairs is full of other, you know, kids who are a little more difficult, a little more troubled and so on, the likelihood of him joining them and spending time with them is there. So a lot of times, kids get themselves in trouble because, you know, there is really not enough outlet, there's really not enough things to do. So you get this category of kids who start off from something as simple as when just hanging out, to getting a bit more involved in terms of the activities, extortion, gangsterism, and so on. You go to prison, you see the kids who are in prison, you see the kids who go in maybe as a petty theft. But in the same cell, he is together with the hardcore gangster maybe from Klang, for example. And he's stuck there for maybe 3 months, 6 months. He could be caught under remand, but he's not, he couldn't post bail for whatever reason. Now, in that 3 months, I may have, been a petty theft who maybe stole a chocolate bar from the shop. But I'm spending 3 months with a hardcore gangster. When you leave 3 months later, so I ask you, what do you think he thinks he is after 3 months? He's going to think that I'm the hardcore gangster now. It's not going to be the reverse, where the hardcore gangster will say that, yeah, I think I'm just into petty crap thefts from now onwards. It's going to be the reverse.
Why is it that the prison system is not segregating these different categories of criminals? Why is a young child or a minor, who's involved in petty theft, being put in the same cell as somebody who's a hardcore criminal?
Because they're all minors. The hardcore criminal is also a minor. So the question is, what's your influence, what's your background, right? I don't think there's a provision for them to separate in terms of who has done what crime and therefore which cell do you go into. At this moment, the segregation is based on age. So, but they're both minors, just that the difference of influence is very different. You know, in terms of someone coming in as a hardcore gangster, obviously has a lot more, you know, on his plate than a kid who is... come in as a petty theft.
Now, James, Suhakam has done work on the question of juveniles and detention centres. What, from your experience, have you learned about the situation in Malaysia?
One has got to ask why young people are getting involved in crime. And to do that, one needs to look at the background of the boys and girls. It's just not the perception that, okay, you've done wrong, therefore you must be punished. That's the current perception, which is very wrong. That perhaps may apply to adults. But when it comes to young people, the teenager, one needs to look with a mind to rehabilitate them so that they become better citizens of tomorrow. So when they are brought before the courts, what then goes through the minds of the persons who are going to mete out the punishment? It should be one, I need to rehabilitate this young man or this young lady. And that should be the approach by any agency dealing with a child who's committed a crime. Now, let's have a look at their background. I did a research with boys and with boys, especially in prison. I looked, examined their backgrounds. They all were from the poor background. Two, when they attended school, they were probably in the last class where there was lesser motivation. They were all written off, so there was what you call a stigma to that. And then I came across a very interesting theory, the strain theory. For them to go to school because they were in the last class, they were neglected, they were not progressing, it was a strain for them to go to school, dressed up in school, going there and not being progressing at all. So they couldn't link school to the future. So there was, therefore, the rise in playing truancy, and truancy led to crime. Then, of course, there was this labeling theory. They were all labeled, going to a last class or not, and no goods, you know, hopeless, and nobody bothered about their development. Simply because there's no vocational training like what it used to be before. In the previous system, at Form 1, a child could either choose to go to academic or perhaps also train in terms of vocational training. But if now everyone is geared to just going up to Form 5 and just riding in that stream to reach the Form 5, not developing any skills, the child is struggling. And once so it's trained to go to school and they're labeled as no good, so they give up.
You know, there are many people who, when presented with these facts about kids in marginalized communities or an education system that's not actually tailored to the very different needs that kids have, they will say, well, you know, we're not allowing the kid to take responsibility, that maybe some kids just want to be criminal. And what do you say to critics who say that, you know, the problem is that we've been too easy on the child, we blame the system, we blame society, we're not blaming the child enough?
I mean, the reality is that when a kid, no kid who grows up in your house have had this ambition of being a criminal. It doesn't happen. You know, no kid writes on a little report card and say, one day I'm going to rob a bank. There are many factors as to why a kid were to get himself, him or herself in trouble. And sometimes before we criticize the kid, we've got to look in terms of what happens at home as well. You know, are the parents around in providing the guidance? Are the parents equipped in providing, you know, the kid enough boundaries, guidelines, and, you know, and all these things needed to shape the kid to know how to avoid what is bad and you know, to know how to embrace what is good, you know, giving the kid, you know, enough to be able to have some assertiveness to deal with difficult people, deal with people who are trying to influence them. You know, we got to look back home, because it's not going to happen naturally as, you know, I'm going to just grow up to be a criminal.
James,
the thing is, has anybody looked at a child? When I interviewed lots of 20 boys, 18 of those boys had learning disabilities, were slow learners, were put in a system where the classroom had 40 children. And that boy had to go to school not being assessed for his disability, and therefore led him to a life of crime. So where's the commitment? Where is the effort to correct them at the root cause rather than having punitive measures? And so you have punitive measures, you're making harder persons in terms of character.
You mentioned at the start that in terms of, you know, kids, the profiles, that they come from all demographic groups. But you did point out that ethnic Indians are overrepresented, and kids from working class backgrounds, essentially. So, I mean, some critics will say, you know, there are cultural issues involved, that, you know, somehow, you know, are Indian kids more prone to gangsterism? Is there something that prods them towards? I mean, would you agree with that kind of assessment, Anderson?
I mean, to be honest, not really. I mean... but what you got to see, is in terms of, you know, maybe on a wider scope, in terms of where they come from, what are backgrounds they come from, what are family structures they have. For me, I really don't see a difference between whether if it is whatever the race of the kid would be. But if the kid is going to be in a position where there is no guidance, there is a lot of, you know, difficult influence on the kid's lives and so on, whatever your culture would have that would prevent that from happening will not be good enough. I mean, if a kid comes down, you know, from his low-cost flat and he's going to see, you know, gangsters and he's going to spend time with them, I mean, what has a culture got to do with that? It's going to be the influence. It's going to be, hey, this is fun. I've got a bit of power. I've got, you know, I've got a bit of leverage over other kids, you know, whether it's due to low self-esteem or whether it's due to pure boredom. You know, I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with my time. And therefore, you know, I got myself in trouble.
James, you mentioned the attitude of our institutions ought to be one of saying we must rehabilitate these children rather than punish them. Do you think that that is in fact the attitude displayed by our institutions that deal with juvenile offenders? And what do we know of whether when kids come out of these institutions, whether they go back to crime? I mean, the relapse kind of issue.
See, the thing is, most persons in society have this perception. Kids have done wrong, they deserve to be punished, and they deserve to be taught a lesson. So such is the thought pattern right from the onset, before a child is brought before the court, and the child before he enters any detention center, and so on. So if we have this perception in mind, therefore, when a child is brought before any agency, the first thing is, I must teach him a lesson that he will not forget, that crime does not pay. So teach him, put him in conditions where he'll regret for having come here. It's like that kind of thought. So give him a hard life and say crime does not pay. And so, yes, create a condition where it's so hostile to him, create a condition where he begins to develop his resentment with society for having placed. What about the perception of the kid? Who looks at the kid and says, what does he think? This is what, as an adult, I think. But a kid, and I've spent years, Anders and I have spent years with them, in the cell with them. What does he think? He thinks, hey, this is not right. I didn't choose a life of crime. I didn't have a choice of being born into this world. I didn't have a choice of being brought up in a very difficult economic situation. And now they are sending me to this hostile situation, taking away the prime time of my life and putting me behind walls where there's lesser or no program. Everything around me is so hostile. I've been surrounded by enforcement agencies. My sleeping conditions are so minimal in terms of comfort. I don't have opportunities to come up. I don't have an opportunity like the kid on the outside who's got everything going for him. And look at me. And so what do you get? You get resentment, hatred, all the wrong things being developed in this child. And so when he comes out, he's three times worse off than when he first went in. Not forgetting what Anderson said, he's put in together with others who probably would, rather than getting better, he'd pick up all the other things and look at life and say, yes, I'm going